Good morning. How we doing? It is good to see you here this morning. Let's just say it one more time, shall we? He is risen. I want to welcome you to Resurrection Sunday here at New Creation Fellowship. It's great to have you all here with us this morning. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about mornings. Things like Jesus prayed early in the morning. Joshua was a guy who got up early in the morning as well. I think of the morning there in Genesis 22 when Abraham got up early and took Isaac to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. Or what about the morning that Jacob woke up, set a pillar of stones in honor of God at Bethel? Or could you imagine Daniel, right after the lion's den, waking up to sunshine that lit up the whole city of Babylon? Or how about the disciples getting up the morning after that terrible night on the Sea of Galilee in the storm? Well, all of those mornings are great. None of them compare to the morning that's discussed in Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Just listen to this morning. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb taking spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men standing by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to him, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And now there was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, and stopping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths there by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. I don't know about you, but I've never thought of myself as a morning person. Right? Like, not my best part of the day at all. I figured out this last week I've had 21,535 mornings. Yeah, I'm old. But you know what? None of them have ever been like the one we just read about. I just want to spend a moment today on this Easter Sunday morning to look at the great morning when our Savior, the Lord Jesus, conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave, and what a morning that must have been. On this Resurrection Sunday, I just want to share with you a few observations from that special morning that makes it a morning like no other. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me. The first one is that it was a morning of reflection. John 19, 38 to 40. All these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly fulfilled the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took his body away. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and they bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So the burial prep had been started by Joseph and Nicodemus, and then As the morning began on the first day of the week, some women come to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. Drew, can I get you to cut the second light from the top on both? Thank you. While they're headed to the tomb, the disciples of Jesus are up in this room, like trembling in fear that the same kind of death that Jesus experienced, that they would also suffer. John 20, 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." So as you reflect this morning on this whole situation, you can understand the action of the disciples, right? Because if Jesus is dead, right, like all hope is gone. And so it was a morning of reflection. It also was a morning of revelation. And in the midst of their sadness that morning, God went to great lengths to minister to them, to the needs of their heart. The Lord cares about us when we are hurting. And he moved in several ways to encourage the hearts of those that have been saddened. I just want to remind you of a few things that he did. Like, he rolls the stone away from the tomb in verse 2 of our passage. And not to let Jesus out, but to allow his disciples, his followers, to come in. And then he sends angelic messengers with the good news and that Jesus was alive from the dead. A word that the world had never heard before. Like, Jesus is alive. He had a word of encouragement to Peter. He also went to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. He leaves a message for his followers inside the tomb. Like, the interior of the tomb was not a place of chaos, but rather of serenity and order. Just the fact alone that those linen cloths that had been on the face of Jesus were lying folded neatly all by itself speaks volumes about what had happened in the tomb that morning. He reveals himself to two disciples as they travel on the road to Emmaus. He meets with the disciples that evening to show them that he was alive. And then he meets with them again a week later just to give Thomas the assurance that he needed that Jesus was alive. Jesus proves it over and over and over again. He is alive. There's a song that we sometimes sing this time of year. It goes like this. I've served a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And aren't you glad I didn't sing it to you this morning? Somebody shout amen. Okay, so we have seen. It was a morning of reflection, morning of revelations. And now in verses 36 through 43 of Luke 24, it says, and they were talking about these things, and Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to him, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Saying, see my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me, see me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. See, it was a morning of realizations. While the disciples are kind of wigging out in this room out of fear for their lives, something miraculous is happening when they're there. Jesus, the one who died 3 days before, is standing right in front of them. And they were terrified and mystified, and as they thought, they had seen a ghost. But Jesus had some news to tell. He shows them the scars from his hands and feet. And he proves to them that he is real. Verse 41, and they still disbelieve for joy and were marveling. He said to them, have you anything here to eat? What's going on there? It's for a moment. Joy keeps them from faith. And this may have been true in the sense that they may be believing something too good to be true. So Jesus, he sits down with them and he has this broiled fish meal, which is another just a powerful piece of evidence that this was the same Jesus doing the same things that he always did many times before with them. See, God wants us to have a reason and thought out faith, not a get it easy believism. Jesus wanted them to think and believe. And this is what needs to happen in the world today. The world needs to know that Jesus is more than a baby in a manger or some poor guy that was crucified a long time ago. He's more than a story in an old dusty book. Jesus is alive. He's real. And he is the only hope we have of missing hell and getting into heaven. And we need to grasp the truth today that Jesus died on a cross and arose from the dead. Today, Resurrection Sunday, it's about Jesus. It's about what Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. It's about the fact that he was buried and 3 days later, he kicks the door out of the tomb and forever made a way for you and me to enter eternal life by trusting in him as our Savior. So the question for you today is, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a page in a book? Or is he real in your heart today? Here's the deal. Just knowing about Jesus, just knowing about what he did, doesn't save your soul. So see, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus even asks his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, he answers correctly, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that who you say Jesus is today? All right, it was a morning of reflection, revelation, realization, and finally, it is a morning of spiritual repercussions. Verses 44 through 48 of Luke chapter 24, we read that Jesus began to tell his disciples that God's plan was to save the world. That they had been called by the Father to be witnesses and to spread the news of a great spiritual victory that had been won when Jesus arose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, some very old enemies that had plagued mankind since sin entered the world were forever defeated. Let me remind you of these things this morning. Like death was defeated. Right? Imagine the struggle that ensued early that morning as death had to give up to the Prince of Life. No more would death be able to claim victory and sting the human race with a bitter curse. Jesus entered into death's domain and rendered it helpless. Now, for the Christ follower, the child of God, death is merely a doorway from this land into the heavenly land, where every tear shall be wiped away from every eye. And the saints of God will live forever in the glorious presence of our Lord and Savior. Secondly, hell was defeated. When Jesus rose from the dead, all who believe go directly to the Father when they leave this world. Hell has forever been removed from the child of God. But then the grave was defeated. This is another enemy that died that day. And most people have this fear of that moment when they'll lay down and pass. As believers, we might be ready to go to heaven, but we always, fight for that next breath, don't we? What a blessing it is to know that believers, when they pass, go to home to be with Jesus. Number four, sin was defeated. Barry read Hebrews 7:25. It talks about how Jesus is able to save those who draw near to God through him. It's a big verse and promises great things to everyone who will believe and trust in its meaning and message. Sin does not have to defeat you. Jesus won the victory. And it was nailed on the cross. When he rose from the dead, you can be free by faith in Jesus. The next one is that Satan was defeated. The devil, the dragon, the accuser of the brethren, the old serpent, whatever you want to call him, the outcome's the same. He is the enemy of God and the people of God. He tried every way he could to short circuit Christ's plans to go to the cross. Jesus endured every temptation. He weathered every storm, and he made it to the cross. And when he cried out, "It is finished," Satan heard the foundations under his kingdom begin to crack. Then 3 days later, when Jesus rose from the dead, Satan witnessed the total destruction of every plan and every scheme he had ever come up with. He saw his power broken. He was defeated forever by Jesus. Would you consider with me this morning what the Bible says about the devil's future? Revelation 21-3, when I saw an angel coming down from heaven holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain, and he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be released for a little while. Then drop down to verses 7 through 10. He goes on and he says, when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. And their number is like the sand of the sea. Here's what I want you to see this morning. And they march up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here's my point on Resurrection Sunday. Victory has been won over the devil. And because Jesus lives, I can be saved by the grace of God. Because he lives, we can have our sins washed away forever. Because he lives, we can go to heaven and when we leave this world. Because he lives, the grave has no power over those who believe. Because he lives, eternal life is our present possession. Because he lives, one day we too will live with him in that heavenly city. Because he lives, I will never have to take a step in this world alone. And because he lives, there is hope and there is help and there's a home waiting for us in eternity. Because he lives, I am alive. Because he lives, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Because he lives, God is my Father. Because he lives, sin has no dominion over me. Because he lives, I am saved forever. And the list could go on, and I could stand up here all day. Yeah. And the truth that I'm driving at this morning is that Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. Amen? Amen. You know, today would be a great day to come before the Lord and just renew your commitment to him. It would be a wonderful day to thank him, to praise him for all the blessings that you have in your life. Today would be an awesome day to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If that's your heart today, if that's where you're at right now, like no magic words this morning, you can just pray with an open heart. So if you would bow with me today, I would just like to lead you in that prayer. Father, there are people here today that need to begin a relationship with you. So God, on this Easter morning, would you give them the courage to open their hearts and their minds and their life to you? If you're here and you want Jesus to come into your life, if you want to have a personal relationship with him, or if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, just spend a moment with him this morning. And you might say something like this: "Dear God, I'd like to start anew in my life. There are things that I know I need to change. And I want to open up my heart to your grace and to your mercy. I want to hold on to your promises today. So God, thank you for loving me and for forgiving me. And I might not understand it all, but thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for me. Thank you this morning that the tomb is empty. And so today I invite you to come into my heart, into my life. And from this day forward, I will trust you to make the changes that you want to make in my life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning, if you prayed that prayer to ask Christ into your heart and life, or if you recommitted your life to Christ today, would you just mark it on your communication card just on the back there? We'd love to just come alongside and encourage you in that and help in any way that we can. Thank you.